This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. You can subscribe to the app on Apple and Android. Visit FUBARradio.com for more details.
Lucy Carter, live from the Fringe magic. On FUBAR Radio.
We're live! We're totally live and it's Edinburgh. Let's have a huge round of applause from our studio audience. Yay. Woo! Yeah! Woo. I know! Packed in. I'm sorry you're all packed in and uncomfortable, sweating in this. It is an absolutely beautiful day in Edinburgh. I've been coming to this festival for, let's say, over 20 years, because it is, and I am 42 years old, and I came here when I was 18. What's that? Let's do the maths. 24 years. Good. It's a sunny day. It's a beautiful sunny day. There have been about six since I started coming to Edinburgh, and very much enjoying it. We've got a lovely studio audience. I'm going to choose the lovely lady in coral to be my first audience spokesperson. What's your name?
Suzanne.
Hello, Suzanne. It's an absolute pleasure to talk to you. You don't need to give her a microphone. I don't need to know anything else. She's a lovely, friendly-looking person. I'm not going to subject her to being talked to. Well, we've got to crack on because we have assembled for you the cream of Edinburgh's comedy talent, and I'm very excited. I am not doing a show here. My name is Lucy Porter, by the way, as the Sting suggested, and I normally do a stand-up comedy show in Edinburgh. This year, I have taken a year off. I'm just up doing this. I'm a mum on the loose. Lock up the Prosecco. Prepare to be flirted with badly. There's a mum on the loose. And so it's my absolute dream job. I get to talk to people who are actually sweating their guts out every night doing the festival. So I'm going to introduce the first of them. Ladies and gentlemen, please, will you give a huge welcome to Mr. Phil Gerrard? Sit where you please, my darling.
On this one.
You sit on there.
This is nice, isn't it? It's like a play.
It is.
I know people can't see it at home, but it's kind of like a nice lit up stage, kind of like a play of a radio programme.
It's nice. There was a film, a scary film about a nighttime disc jockey.
Right.
The name of which I can't remember. Play Misty for Me.
Play
well
Misty
done.
For Me. The Clint Eastwood.
Clint Eastwood. I'm going to do, what's your name, madam? Pat. What colour jelly baby would you like, Pat? They don't do purple, Pat. No, black.
It's a good call, I think. I have something of the young Clint Eastwood about me, don't I?
Sorry, that's gone. You'll never see that again. Anyway, you do.
Yeah.
Now, can I do, because this is radio, let's do a physical description of our guest.
Oh, okay.
Now, stunning is the one word I would use.
I've dressed up for this.
You have?
I mean, the tiara is a bit much, isn't it?
I love a ball gown at this time of day, so that's absolutely fine.
It's hot.
It is. It's a good job that you've gone for the see-through diaphanous material that you have, Phil.
Actually, this shirt that I am wearing was a present from my wife. She bought it in Chicago. It's roomy. Roomy for the American male.
Do you know, we went to, my husband and I went on our honeymoon to Florida and we managed to put on 2 stone each.
Oh, nice.
In a fortnight.
It's nice to come back with something, isn't it?
It is, isn't it? Yes, yes. And a whole new wardrobe of clothes we had to buy. It's great. So, Phil Gerrard, your show is called Neanderthal.
Mm.
And you are, now tell me what time it's on at again.
It's on at 7 o'clock in Pleasance That, which
good.
Is... a tiny little sort of
I love it.
Container.
I was there last. Nice. I was in either the this or the that last
they're,
night.
They're really nice. They don't look like what they are really. They look sort of quite swish. I think on the inside.
They do inside because outside you think, am I being human trafficked?
Yeah.
Are they going to lift
really
this up and stick it on a container ship?
It is a cattle truck. Yeah.
But yeah, it's really good. It's a lovely intimate venue, and unlike this, you know, the barn we're in today.
That's right.
Tell me about the show. Let's do all that first, and then we can talk about your beard after that.
It's called Neanderthal. It's my debut Edinburgh show, so it's the first time I've done an hour.
Since winning, aren't you Leicester Comedian of the Year?
I was in that final along with Dane.
Oh, later.
Yes, but I didn't win that, so we don't talk about that. That's difficult.
I shouldn't have brought that up.
A difficult moment in my life. But no, I did. I won best debut at the show, I should say. Won best debut at the Leicester Comedy Festival. And I want to take as much out of that as I possibly can. However, the Leicester Comedy Festival does start quite early on in the year, so I may have been one of the only two or three people who had an actual show at that point.
Yes.
So I wasn't up against Kitson.
Oh, that's very self-deprecating of you.
Well, it was lovely.
To be honest, if you were up against Kitson in a beard competition, you would win.
Well, he has got rid of his
at the
beard,
moment. Yes,
he, I think, and I can see why, because it is a bit of a bind, a beard.
Mm.
Is it a binder beard?
A beardy bind, yes, beardy it bind. Is. Because, no, well, tell me why. I love beards because you get, as a woman, you get to kiss and exfoliate at the same time, which is a boon, absolutely.
Women come up and grab your face if you've got
yeah.
a beard.
Me, yes. A couple of Prosecco's later. But no, I do. I love touching but a beard.
Aggressively so, you know, yeah. in the streets. It was okay like before that. Beards were extremely popular. Because before beards were popular, I used to just get Jesus... And like jokes about being homeless, many people thinking it was funny to throw 50p at me, which is fine for a jobbing comedian, I got to say. But since beards have become incredibly popular, people just think I'm a horrible, awful bandwagon jumping hipster, which is closer to the truth than Jesus, but still not. Still not a compliment.
Still not quite there. Well, I'm looking at, see, because we haven't got any other beards in the room today. And it's the problem is now, see, when I was growing up, I loved a beard because it did mark out someone who was a little bit bohemian, a little bit different, a dreamer, possibly a drifter.
Someone who doesn't live by life's rules.
I did once, okay, I sort of genuinely got off with a tramp. you know, not that there's anything wrong. Anyway, it was a sunny day. We were all drinking in the park. Who was to know? But and then I recently have realised that even quite horrible people have beards.
Yeah. It's strange to think that that a sort of a disparate group of people, all with the ability to grow hair out of their face, don't necessarily have anything in common.
It's amazing, isn't it? Yeah. That there may be variations within that subgroup of humanity. It is.
But that's
just. It's like when they say women have different opinions. And
I know,
you go,
isn't
yeah,
it?
Right.
Isn't it? Though?
Come on, then. Come on.
I find it strange.
Oh, bring that.
You're
on.
Telling me people with legs they have different things.
No, we are brain drones. That's good. Yes. Do you talk about the beard in the show? Is that a thing? I feel
like
brought it up immediately.
When I first started doing stand-up comedy. I was very, yes is the answer.
Yeah,
short answer.
Yeah, had a good bit. Let's expand on that.
When I first started doing stand-up comedy, I thought, I really didn't want to mention a beard at all because I thought it would be sort of hack and sort of crappy to talk about the beard, you know, oh look, I'm
well then
you know,
it looks like you've grown it so you've got something to do jokes about.
Yeah,
well,
or somebody's let themselves go, etc.
Yeah, yeah.
But I found after about a year of doing it that if I didn't mention it, if I didn't have something on it, people just wouldn't let it go.
Yeah.
And they would just quite they just needed some material about the beard. So yes, there is sort of 3 minutes or so about the beard in the show.
I remember doing gigs when I was like very heavily pregnant. And I would always, you know, I'd mention it because why wouldn't you? But then a couple of gigs, I did just sort of forget to mention it straight away. And the sense of tension was so amazing.
Really,
and then
strange.
I'd sort of go, oh, and I'm pregnant. And they're like, oh, thank God for that. We were just, you know, we couldn't relax until we knew what it was.
It's strange, isn't it? People wouldn't be like that in real life if you went round to someone's house. People wouldn't be sitting all tense. Oh God, he's mentioned he's got a beard. Thank God for that. Now we can have the starters.
Now we can throw him out.
Very strange thing that it happens on a stage.
Yeah. Well, I totally agree with you. I've always thought, oh, it's really annoying and hack to have to do something about your appearance when you start. And because I used to find I had to talk about being a woman. I always had to do a. Oh, God, look at me. I'm a lady doing comedy. Isn't that amazing? And I had a variety of things that I used to do about normally asking, because I read somewhere that if a female comedian comes on stage, the men in the audience, some idiot had written, the men in the audience wonder whether they want to sleep with her. And the women in the audience wonder if the man they're with would like to sleep with her. So I always used to come out and tell them that and say, right, let's see who wants to have sex with me and get them to identify themselves. And, you know, which it always kind of worked. But I always felt a bit like, God, do I really have to do this? But
well, it's different for me. When I walk on a stage, if I asked how many people wanted to have sex, the terrifying, cloying silence that would follow that.
Oh, no, they all perked up when you came
sure.
on, Phil. There was,
no, I'm not sure.
The sexual tension in this atmosphere, you know, it's incredible.
Yeah.
And so the show now Neanderthal.
Yeah.
Thal. It's some sort of Americanism. Neanderthal.
I was wondering this. I say Neanderthal, but I've had Neanderthal said back to me. Do you say Neanderthal?
Let's do a straw poll. Neanderthal, raise your hands, please. Okay, Neanderthal.
Right. Are you American?
Oh, a scientist. Hello, look, she's Pat's in. She's like, yes,
she's from
I'm a
the
scientist.
Land of science.
And I think, therefore, I have the authority. So we're with Thal.
It's tall. So it,
Neanderthal.
What sort of scientist are you then? Oh, okay, brilliant. So it is Neanderthal. Damn, I've been saying it wrong for literally years.
I'm going to go all your reviews. I'm going to take a star off.
Oh, don't do that. I can't deal with no star reviews.
The pronunciation is key, isn't it, Pat? It really
colour is. Them in myself.
Oh well, let's do Phil against Pat, the audience member.
What, in a physical battle? Come on, Pat.
Recreating the. So, what do you know about Neanderthals? Neanderthals, and then we'll check with Pat if you're right.
There is a willful mistake in the show. The show has got lots of willful mistakes in it, which I quite like, because I quite like audience members going, well, that's not, I don't think that's true, and it makes me feel good in a sort of horrible way. So I say in the show that we evolved from Neanderthals, but we didn't, did we? We outperformed Neanderthals, is that right?
Yeah, look, she's nodding. You've got she's but banging. No. It's all right, you can nod. I'll interpret your any gestures you want to make, I can interpret.
I mean, I assume we have a common ancestor with Neanderthals, do we? Back further. I say in the show that we have a common ancestor with chimps and bonobos, is that true?
Excellent. You are really more clever than you thought, beardy fella.
Yeah, yeah. Just not very funny. Not funny for a comedian. The other willful mistake I'm making is I say that lasagna was from Greece. Isn't it? But no one ever.
Pat's shot. Look at Pat's face about that. It's like, why would you say that? Why would you say that
to
an audience?
No one ever comes up and questions it ever.
Do they not?
No. But I thought the lasagna thing. I thought the lasagna thing might cause. That is basically the thrust of the show. Is it's monkeys, Neanderthals, and lasagna. That is not even a joke. That is literally the main thrust of the show. And I thought I would get people coming up and sort of telling me off that, but I've had nothing. Not a single person.
Well, Pat's not been in yet, have you? No.
So come in, get up and bang the table and go, we have a common ancestor, but that's as far as it goes.
Oh, no, hang on. Did you want to expand? Do. We share DNA.
But we share DNA with bananas, don't we?
We share DNA if we're Northern European, but other people don't.
Really?
So we have the breeding, because arguably it's the same species.
Pat, are you going a bit UKIP?
No.
I'm getting worried about the direction this is taking. No. So what?
Because they could interbreed, couldn't they?
Yeah.
Neanderthals and Homo erectus.
Homo erectus, very good.
Yeah, nice.
But they lived. Northern Europe. They didn't live near Africa or anywhere else.
Oh right. Oh okay.
Yeah. So we share DNA. But if anybody, no, not everybody here shares DNA with Neanderthals. Yeah.
And there we go.
Well, there you go.
It's interesting.
I love the fact that we're going to have notes after this show. That we're
Dane asking for more information. That was
well. Well, in fact, let's bring up. This seems like a brilliant point to bring up our next guest. Please, will you welcome Mr. Dane Baptiste? Here we go. Hey, hello, my love. Anywhere you like, and grab a microphone, and then let's continue our discussion. Hello, Dane.
Hello.
Phil, you know.
Hello.
Hello, clearly. Sir. Good to see you.
And then Pat.
Pat. Hi, Pat. Good to see you again.
Yeah, this is science.
It's got a bit highbrow, hasn't it? I wasn't expecting it.
I know. Well, none of us were, to be honest, Phil. None of us were expecting it.
I'm expecting nothing less from such a refined man with such a refined beard.
Thanks, mate. Thanks, so, dude.
You know, refined,
I'm just getting in the facial hair game myself, kind of culturing a jazz player-esque goatee, but who knows, with enough practice and grooming, maybe one day I could be a raconteur with a nice bit of facial hair.
I think the beard, it gives people a false impression of what's going on. It even gives them a false impression of where my face ends.
So which is all good.
It's
yeah.
all so, smoke so, and mirrors, yeah. to be honest.
Which is great. I mean, I thought about options so far as facial hair. I was thinking Taoist, maybe, like Wu-Tang temple priest.
Yeah, Taoist would be
yeah.
good.
Yeah, Shaolin abbot. That was something I thought about.
Something plaitable. I would quite like to plait it.
Yeah, that's good as well. Yeah, like Pharaoh.
Yeah.
Pharaoh, that's wrapped round, isn't it?
Yeah.
That looks like it would be extremely uncomfortable. I think especially in hot weather.
Yeah, I think on a Pharaoh's budget, you can probably manage that.
Joe, I would love to be joining in this conversation right now, but I'm going to have to start talking about my pubic hair if that's going to happen.
Well,
and it's
No. There is no reason why any female shouldn't be involved with conversations about facial hair. I mean, there's a whole subgenre of carnival entertainment, Lucy,
dedicated to
women with facial hair.
This is what you're setting me the challenge, aren't you? Next year at Edinburgh, I'll be saying now, last year, Dane Baptiste challenged me to grow a beard and moustache. And here I am with my show. I mean, bearded ladies, too obvious, isn't it? We'll think of the title.
Yeah.
All right, well, thanks for that. That's
You've been a patron, you've worked at the Fringe for so many years, then maybe try
Yeah.
Maybe bridge the gap between comedy and cabaret.
Yeah.
That's what we need.
I think I do that already. Oh, with the nipple tassels. I don't actually take my top off, just wear them underneath. Nobody needs to know.
Why not? It's cold in Edinburgh anyway, so.
But you're an erudite comedian as well. We've got a very thinky show today.
It's pretty thinky.
Yours is what's it? Reasonable doubts.
Yeah, because it's thinky to the point of being overthinky, and it basically my show is about the idea for the show. The seed was planted after my first show, and people were like, "Well, you're gonna have to go back to Edinburgh. It's gonna be sophomore album, difficult second album," and that kind of played in my mind over, following last year's Fringe, and so that was the basis for the show, and it's just about my personal doubts about my career after last year's show and being able to deliver on a second show, as well as some more social doubts about society, given kind of issues that are happening in the States or just, in general, and then just how that graduates into more global doubts and, my normal fears of, nuclear apocalypse or zombie apocalypse or, extremely virulent bacteria wiping out the human race. Just normal stuff that most people think of when they go to a restaurant or,
We're all preoccupied with that. Well, this is where we could bring Pat in.
I mean, in a way, it's like, first...
Pat, what are the chances of a virulent bacteria wiping out the human race? Is Ebola a threat?
Spanish flu nearly dead for us, didn't it?
This is science. Like, go for zero, because if they're wrong, you can't. Like, if you're wrong, they can't get you. It's absolutely true. Yes, exactly. You can never be proved wrong.
But then is the fact that if you don't have any introduction to these pathogens, then you don't develop your immune system, so it's still counterproductive. And then it doesn't make sense for a bacteria to be so strong that it destroys all of its hosts, because then it can't transmit. So it's just this really weird, delicate balance that you have to think of, right, Pat? Thank you.
Yeah, God, Pat's loving this. It's basically we've just constructed this afternoon around Pat, so the rest of you take from it what you will.
But I think we're going to graduate this semester, Phil, Jared.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Right.
Pat's getting ready to give you both an A star.
That's right.
I
could use it. I'm just stick that on there. Introduction to human biology.
I think actually the star system of reviews has become a little bit pointless, hasn't it? Because you sort of go, it's a bit, there's too many publications, there's too many stars.
Half stars now, that seems.
Yeah, the half star, year of the half star. Have you been aware of this, ladies and gentlemen? That because performers are mildly interested in the reviews that they get in Edinburgh. They have a passing.
Pathologically interested. This is my first year, and I've never realised there's a strain of walking past posters that are filled with stars. This backdrop is kind of freaking me out, to be fair. It's horrible, isn't it, Olin?
I never read them until after the
I try. People
event.
Text me though.
Do
then
they?
Then literally I get a text saying, I get a text from my wife saying, bloody hell. I have to do something about it then.
That's cruel.
Do you read your reviews, Dave?
No, I don't read
reviews.
How
do you get away from them?
I have to put my phone in flight mode to avoid it. Although I've been caught a few times and got some reviews, but I don't read them. So sometimes people tweet them, but I tend not to read them.
Is that weird to the audience here? Hands up if you think it's weird not reading reviews that have been written of you. One person does think it's weird.
Are you a reviewer? And I was seeing, because if you worked hard in a review and I was like, I don't care, then you might be offended by it. But
will someone think of the poor reviewers?
Yeah, exactly.
Up
you can put it off.
A friend of mine.
She won't let you hold the microphone. We've only got one.
Reviewing a show, and for a certain publication, and he actually went to see a show that was so bad that he actually phoned the reviewers up and said, "I must review the show." It was on his day off, and he went to see the show. He said, "I've got to warn people about the show, and I can't tell you what show it is." Sorry.
That's fine.
That's quite public spirited. You must turn back. You must turn back if you were going to see this show.
Well, now the fact that you said you can't tell us, now I'm completely intrigued. Now you've piqued my interest. Okay.
Yeah.
That's a promise.
The weird thing about it as well is, even if they say something nice, when you get to that bit in the show, you're coming up to it, you go, "I'm coming up to the bit they said was good," and because they're approaching it differently, it doesn't work anymore.
So they
ruin good bits. It ruins good bits yourself. They don't ruin it, I suppose.
Yeah, the whole psychology of the Fringe is something. We should probably talk about that amongst ourselves later, because it is quite... I'd imagine it's quite dull for audiences.
And probably a lot more C-bombs in there too, so... Probably after the show.
Mm. Yeah, yeah,
there'll
yeah.
There'll be a lot of C-bombs in that conversation. So
yeah.
Probably shouldn't have that conversation now.
I'm thinking of one journalist. Yeah, there would be. Yeah.
Oh, we're definitely going to talk about this.
Yeah. Well, the guys, you haven't booked anything else in for this afternoon, I hope. Because this is, you're now committed for the rest of the day.
We're all going for coffee and then lunch and dinner and a show. You're up for that, Pat?
Yes. Pat's on board. I should have bought, but normally when I do a radio show for this Steam station in London, we normally have booze in the second hour, you see. And I toyed with it. I thought, well, is it too early? And then I thought, well, no, but it's Edinburgh time, isn't it?
Yeah, and but these jelly babies are pretty hardcore.
I know, let's go sugar. Now, our third guest has arrived, and I see no reason why we shouldn't bring him straight on, because I'm delighted and excited. Please, will you welcome Piff the Magic Dragon? Hello, my darling. Come and sit down. And for the benefit of the listener, he has brought my favourite thing at the entire...
I think most people's favourite thing.
It's Mr. Piffles, the most adorable chihuahua.
This is the reason people come to the show.
Yeah, no, you're very clever. You are very clever. Julian Clary in his early career used to have a dog on stage with him, and I did always think, it's the... Look, go on, make the leap, Mr. Piffles. Yes, here he comes.
He's trying to get to the jelly beans.
Oh yeah. Thank you for... I thought that his genuine affection, and it's... But they're not allowed chocolate, are they?
What?
Oh, jelly babies. Are they now jelly babies, dogs?
I don't know. He just eats whatever he wants. And he's made it this far.
This is responsible dog ownership.
Yeah.
Phil and Dane and I have been talking about various things. Yours is one of the very few shows that I've managed to see so far.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for coming.
Absolutely adored it. It was brilliant. I saw it on Monday night. It's a spectacular. And then having seen it, I went home and I looked up your appearances on America's Got Talent,
I'm doing at the moment. Yeah,
which is it's incredible. It's America's Got Talent, right? Not Britain's Got Talent, which is rubbish. America's Got Talent, which is actually it's a big country. There are talented people there, not just dogs. There's actual people who can do stuff.
Well, there is dogs as well.
And there are dogs as well, you know. But yeah, it's the dogs aren't the stars. That's what I'm saying.
Right.
And It's brilliant. You're amazing, as of course I knew you would be. But and the audience go nuts. And you got the golden buzzer from Neil Patrick Harris, is that
right?
The golden buzzer, which is like the one where he goes, I don't need to see any more of this. You're going to the final. It's amazing. And, electric moment and everything. And the thing I loved most about it is that you are doing so brilliantly and it's amazing. And I frankly don't know why you're doing The Fringe. I would have cancelled. You don't need it.
Cheers, thanks. That's nice.
Yeah, exactly.
What's better than doing
you guys need to be here.
7 o'clock plus that. It's a shipping container.
Guys, what is better than doing The Fringe?
I know, you want to do it because you love it. But it's also what I love about it is that on American television, to see someone who doesn't really give a damn or appears not to, that it's so refreshing, because every other contestant is like, this is my dream, I've always wanted to do this, and they're sort of really hyper, and you are not that bothered.
Right, they've all got sort of dead relatives and...
Yeah, the story, the journey, all of that.
And, yeah.
And you seem to really not want
to
be there.
To be fair, I mean, I genuinely didn't. So there wasn't any acting there at the beginning, because I was very suspicious of it at the beginning. And then, but to be fair to the producers, they've been the ones who've let me do whatever I wanted.
Yeah.
I've been the one to pitch ideas, obviously, but they've just always gone, do whatever you want. Because
the only experience I've had of American television was a few years ago, they flew 50 British comedians over to audition for a programme called Last Comic Standing. And it was ridiculous. It was like a school trip, because it was like the head boy was Andrew Maxwell, and then like Jim Taveray was the dad who was being a bit stern, and then it was and we were all just being idiots. And they got us off the plane, and they for some reason had dressed Fern Cotton, poor Fern Cotton, they dressed her up as a milkmaid. We don't know why, but she was there to greet us off the plane, and the production team kept saying, right, so we're going to get you all on camera, and you've all got to say how much you want it, how much it means to you, why this is so important to you.
They said it to me.
They
said it to me, and they just ignored them.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they're like, oh, God, can you just say something we can use? But Last Comic Standing is a tough show for a comedian.
Mm.
Because, you have to go out, do like 3 minutes of your act, and then stand there while these three random people critique you. It's like, imagine like Louis C.K. or Chris Rock, or
yeah,
they just look like idiots.
Yeah.
So like you end up with all these comedians looking. At least America's Got Talent, you can play with the format.
Yeah.
Well, many comedians come out of it. Didn't big comedians come out of Last Comic Standing?
Amy Schumer. I think Jeannie Yashari got to the final, and David Kirshen did it.
Matt Kirshen.
Did it, and who else?
Jim Tavare, actually. He was, of our lot, the ones who went over, so yeah, Jim Tavare, Matt Kirsch, and Gina had auditioned somewhere else. Yeah. She auditioned in New York. But
there was an English one as well, wasn't there? What was the...
Show Me the Funny.
Tiffany Stevenson.
Yeah, Pat Monahan. Tiffany was a violinist and Eddie Taylor.
It does seem like a weird way of doing it, doesn't it?
It does seem like a way that it would work, really.
Sorry, I'm just stroking your dog. It's clever. I've got a chihuahua as well, so this is nice, like being at home.
All right, we might need a spare, actually, because...
You can't have my chihuahua as a spare.
He gets shot out of a can every day, and that's only a matter of time before
he does look terrified.
Well, they had a stunt dog for Britain's Got Talent for the last dog that won.
It was amazing.
Yeah, stunt dog. So
yeah, that was incredible.
I missed the whole controversy. What was
the... Oh, so what happened was they had this dog act where the dog was doing whatever the accounts. And then in the finals, so they voted the dog through to the finals, and in the finals they switched the dog. And there's a different dog.
Stunt dog doing high wire tricks.
Right. Because the other dog was afraid of heights. Don't know how you tell a dog's afraid. So, and then the stunt dog won.
Wow.
But then the public thought they voted for the other one, who's a fraud.
It's a sort of dog version of Singing in the Rain, isn't it? You know, you've got a sort of a dog behind the curtain doing all the work.
Right. Yeah. Well, I just think, you know, they thought the dog overcame his fear of heights and, you know.
So it's like a nice story, actually.
But he didn't. They just switched him out.
Well, yeah, that's awful. Oh,
they probably might have that dog in a tree for like years training.
Yeah.
And then eventually they were like, right, now's your moment.
Mr. Piffle's no such fear of anything.
No, other dogs are too expensive. You only want one dog. He did the wrestling last night.
Oh my gosh, how was that? The wrestling, again, for those of you uninitiated, comedians wrestling. Didn't really need to explain it. It is as it sounds, but it is.
I didn't know that happened. I'd have been well up for that.
You didn't know about the wrestling?
The wrestling.
No. It's great.
He's the uninitiated, yeah.
Well, there we go. So, for next year, they do it every year, and it's just a massive wrestling match, which I think Brendan Burns originated it, did he? I don't think I'm right. I don't know.
Is it Max and Ivan? I don't know.
Yeah, and it's like a Royal Rumble.
I'm just treading into something I have no idea about now.
is it like a Royal Rumble? Like a free-for-all kind of thing? Or do they have scheduled matches, or...?
Once again, my knowledge has come to an end.
And I've literally just heard about it now.
People do train for it, so it is like
it's actual wrestlers versus actual comedians.
Oh.
And then, it's like one... It ends in a big battle. I'm not sure whether it's all just one battle. But then I just walked on and threw my dog around.
Cool.
And then sneezed a fireball in somebody's face.
Cool.
Well...
It's somebody injured themselves last year, I think. There's sort of, because it is one of those things that comedians, anything that you do, particularly during the fringe, you go, well, if I'm going to do this, I'm going to be the best, I'm going to be. And yeah. I think it's a way of clawing back some control over your month of being.
I did Friday I'm in Love, do you know that? It's like a thing called Masioki, where they have a live band, but there's no singer. And it's the audience that sings, and they have like the words up on the screen, but they have like two special guests. And I did that. I thought, I'm going to go on, I'm going to do it, like I'm going to go as wild as possible. And I did, I bet you look good on the dance floor. And so I started headbanging at the start, but I forget that I'm 36 and quite fat. And so when the song started, I couldn't sing. So I spent the whole of it just wheezing.
Because you were tired. God.
Surprisingly hard work, that singing and dancing, isn't it?
Dance floor.
You did not look good on that dance floor.
No. So you got to be the best, is what I'm saying. You've got to be the best.
Well, you have
or vaguely fit.
Or vaguely fit. Yeah,
one of the two.
Enough to lip sync. Yeah. Maybe just enough energy for the lip sync or go for the vocals.
If they'd ever have me back, I would do that. But
I'm sure they will.
What about? Let's do a quick straw poll of our comedians during the fringe. Physical fitness or drinking and carousing, Dane Baptiste.
Physical fitness when you're doing your own show, as boring as it sounds. Drinking is fun, but then the waking up for promo is not so much fun when you're drunk or when you are in a hot room and you're trying to deliver a show while recounting all of your mistakes from last night. It's very tough. It can make for a very, very long hour for
sweating
you and
out
audience
the misery.
Combined. So.
Yeah. Anyone else doing physical fitness or boozing and
I don't really
carousing?
Do either. Okay. I mean, I do a bit of drinking, but not very much physical fitness at all.
Well, you walk to the bar, so
I do walk to the bar, and I walk back with one drink for me.
Yeah, and so that's weight and cardio. Karaoke thing.
Yeah.
Well, you were out of breath. Anything we get out of breath, that's physical exercise.
Yeah, exactly. Let's stave off death for another day.
Even, well, like smoking as well, can be regarded as some level of exercise because they say if you climb a mountain and you're a smoker, then you do better than most people that don't smoke because you can survive on a lower amount of oxygen. So what I'm saying is that in some ways, smoking can be good for you.
Okay, we're back to Pat. It's Pat, can you tell us, smoking good for you or not good for you, Pat? It's not good for you, Dane.
You've changed, Pat. You really have.
Wow,
she
that's
was
brutal.
On your side,
I
mean,
changed. That doesn't sound like it's based on any scientific fact whatsoever.
I hope you have a null hypothesis for what you're saying about these cigarettes.
I mean, as a dragon, smoking is a big part of my life, obviously. So.
Well, that's
can
two,
I just say, I smell one. Delicious. I really...
Do you? You do, actually.
I smell so good. I just got this new shower gel, and I really... Oh, my God, I smell so good.
Give it a plug. Give it a plug live
it's
air.
It's Molton Brown.
Oh, look at you. Oh, he's changed. Britain. America's got talent. Suddenly it's Molton Brown.
And if Molton Brown would like to send me a case,
yes,
I would rather not pay for it.
What flavour is it?
Temple Tree. I think it might be a lady's flavour, but it's irrelevant.
It's a nice smell.
They've got the best
flavour.
I think ladies, they have the best flavours when it comes to like shower gels and shampoos.
And I like a woman's smell, so I'm happy to smell like one.
Yeah,
I've got no issue.
Yeah.
That's fine.
In those long, lonely nights, it can be very comforting, I'm sure. Now, I see, we're such gender explorers, us lot. I like, my favourite perfume is actually male aftershaves, I think. Chanel's Egoiste, which is very hard to find now.
Well, so you get that and then
so
that.
I will wear a male cologne.
Yeah, I think we should sort, I mean, like, they're designed to attract the opposite sex, even. Mm. So, like, why don't we just wear them? Everyone be happy. We don't have to attract anyone.
Well, yeah, because it's a good theory, because then the pheromones and stuff mixed, then all the men would be around you, and then I guess females would think, well, he must be the alpha because all the guys hang around him.
Right.
And it's all... before I continue with this thesis, I want to check with Pat first.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Okay. He's the alpha.
Give that a try.
Do you think is Piffles an alpha?
You know what? I stayed with some friends for a while, and they have three really big dogs. Mm-hmm. And Piffles was the boss in a couple of days.
Yeah, small people. Yeah, small animals.
Small dog
can
syndrome.
Be very powerful. Yeah. I do always feel this festival. My height is always a massive problem because I'm stood in bars, having people having conversations.
How tall are you?
4'11".
Wow.
Yeah, my husband's 6'5". I basically just married him as a sort of interpreter, so he can kind of tell me what's been going on in the upper regions while I suffer. Now, on the physical fitness and things, I was just going to ask the audience, have you ever seen a Fringe show where you have suspected the performer has been intoxicated or hungover after the event? Not immediately. Oh, hello, yes, sir. Oh, really? So someone had gone to see magic on drugs. That's a great idea, isn't it? What wouldn't be enhanced?
Oh, boy.
Magic. Because if if you can barely believe it when you're sober, imagine how wonderful
it
would be.
I think it would be mind-bendingly terrifying.
Yeah. Well, your show...
What magic show was it? It's a memorable one.
Oh, like having an audience of children. So Crispin the magician.
I had a kid in the show yesterday.
Did you?
Yeah.
And your show is on
him in the face.
What time?
What?
Your watch time?
10:40 p.m.
And how old is this child?
10?
Yeah, that's bad parenting.
At best. Right.
Yeah.
And he just wanted to join in with everything. Oh. Like a child. It was disgusting.
Like children and animals, really, not your bag.
Never worked with them. No.
Did his parents at any point say, like, that's enough?
Yeah, they did, because he kept heckling me. And they realised he was going to get a microphone stand in the face at some point.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, here we go. I've just had a note from the producer. That's all right. No, it's fine. She wants... yes. says, can you let the audience members talk for long periods of time, please? So that she's got time to get to you with the microphone, you see. So that's good. I've been throwing for too short a time. There's no interest to the audience or anyone at home, but I just thought I'd share that because it just happened. Children in audiences, what's your age limits? Lower and upper?
I'm very shouty and sweary. Nine?
Yeah. these days like about that. 8 or 9 is when you start dropping the C-bomb.
Yeah,
first,
isn't so. It? Yeah. I don't think they want to hide anything from them. Last year, I did the Pleasance Reserve, and we got our age rating wrong on the tickets. So we used to have very young groups of theatre troupes. And those gigs were extremely difficult. Extremely difficult gigs. We had there was a church group came to one of our gigs. The woman came, and she got up in the middle of the gig, disgusted. It's not that disgusting, but they're swearing and stuff. She got up to disgusted and then couldn't find her way out. Like she was in a sort of black maze of offence and lewdness, trying to feel her way along a curtain to try and get outside.
Yeah, you see, I would rather, in a fringe show, I'd rather just sit through. And even however horrified I was,
no.
I would just sit there.
Really?
Oh, God,
I have to leave these days.
No, I'm too scared. As a performer, I feel like I'm too scared of, being picked on. And, I'm much more timid than any other audience member. Do you genuinely walk
out
shows?
No. Yeah. Wow. Yeah, I give it 5-10 minutes grace period, I'm done.
Wow, that's harsh. Someone was talking about they had to stop their show because someone got taken ill. I tell you what it was. This is quite a weird and horrific story. Strap in. Someone was in their show and got up and said, oh, listen, I'm having an asthma attack. I've got to leave. And so she went, oh, okay, fine, of course. And then got an email later on saying this guy said I wasn't actually having an asthma attack, but the man next to me kept stroking my leg and blowing in my ear.
Oh, my God.
And I told him to stop and he wouldn't, and I was so horrified that I had to get up and leave your show.
Wow.
Isn't that extraordinary?
What was the title of that show again?
Stroke your knees and blow in your ears. Perverts Welcome. 10:40 okay. at the Underbay. I did once have someone have a suspected heart attack in one of my gigs, and that is it's a tough call. You have to go, are we going to carry on? Is it too
keep
weird
going,
now?
Lucy, you're killing them there in the audience. Keep going, yes. You're killing them,
knocking them dead. But yeah, any
my friend did this gig where he did it was an old people's home or something, and he juggled knives over this guy's head, and then the next month he went back and he was like, oh, where's that guy? And he died like a day later from having accident. He had a great time. He's like, oh, but maybe he was just like, he had such a good time. He was like, I said, I'm done.
I've achieved
everything. That was the last box.
He got that adrenaline rush and he was like, I can't go back to normal life.
Right.
Now.
He was like,
I've
got
a knife to my head.
I respect that.
I'd like to think someone thought to themselves, I will see Lucy Porter and then die.
Yeah.
And that will be my.
I will have knives juggled over my head. And if I survive that, I will die.
So how many times, because we've got, so first time at the Fringe, second time at the Fringe, how many times have you done?
I've done 6 years of my show, and then I did 1 year in a musical.
In a musical?
Yeah.
What was that?
In 2005.
What was the musical?
It was called Mikey the Pikey.
Never made the West End, Mikey the Pikey, did it?
Surprisingly. No. It was actually a lot of fun, but do you know a guy called Joel Horwood?
Yeah,
because he's gone on to be very successful now.
Oh, really?
A really great writer. He's had a lot of pieces out. I was the politician or the MP. I can't remember. I was some character in that. So, and that did really well. It was like selling out all the time. So that was my first year of Edinburgh, and I was like, oh, I love this place. I'm coming back.
Yeah.
And then we came back in 2008, I think, with my first show, which is where I got Piffles.
And that was that the caves? Was that the year you were in the
cave? No, I was in the Hive, which was a cave. But
oh, yeah.
And then the next year I was in the cave, and then the year after I was like, I'm never going back in a cave. As long as it's horrible cave lung.
Yeah.
And I was just coughing up this horrific stuff for like 3 months. And
I'm going back to Pat. Pat.
Cave lung.
Well, I do worry. Now, this is a thing. Leading on, Dave, from what you were talking earlier about, you know, horrendous viruses and things. Is there any way, because some of these Edinburgh venues, they are shut the rest of the year, they don't operate. Is there any way that, like, olden days plague could get into, you know, that it could still somehow be alive somewhere?
Depends what you dig up.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you see?
Yeah.
Body, yeah.
Go yeah, because, yeah, cause oh. It's the plague, it's the parasite on the fleas, isn't it, that caused bubonic plague.
The carried thing.
So it's if that the parasite will survive. It's not actually the rats or the fleas. It was a parasite that was in the fleas, which they say came from China, Pat.
Maybe.
Well. Look who's
wow. Pat.
Out of knowledge, Pat.
Pat, ladies and gentlemen. Not I never thought it would happen.
I think it would be good, though, if the Edinburgh Fringe was the source of the next zombie apocalypse.
it'd be so good, because then you wouldn't be able to tell it in so many occasions. It'd be great cliffhangers like, wait, have you just come from a show?
Rawr, no!
Right, yeah.
Someone's killing me, help me, somebody! Oh my God, this is the Fringe again.
Oh bloody somebody student, please. Student
oh, theatre. Oh, it's so site specific.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah.
I have suffered in, I did the Underbelly 1 year in a venue that hadn't been
which
opened
one?
For the, it was the, I can't remember, it was one up at the top of the right. venue, and fire risk, oh my gosh, you know, sometimes, and I'm not really a very paranoid person, but sometimes you go into these venues and you go, I'm going to see who I'd have to push out of the way. I'm going to see who I could climb on, basically.
Well, as a performer, you were thinking that.
Yeah, I was like, I'm not going to get out last if this goes up in flames. So it was fire risk was one thing. And also, I did feel that I got exactly that sort of, you know, a lung.
Legionnaire's disease, I imagine you could get, couldn't you?
You probably could, couldn't you?
And you get a lot worse than that. Yeah. There was this one cave in the Underbelly, and the condensation used to travel up the walls to this central arch and then drip down.
That's the one, right? Yeah, the white then, belly, because it had that. It was like an old air raid shelter or something.
Right,
yeah.
And one of my friends, a guy, Dusty Limits, do you know Dusty?
Yeah, he
put a cup in the middle of the room, and it just condensed, you know, caught all this cave juice, and at the end he'd down it.
He's
a brave man.
So. Well, he may live. He'll either live to be 112 or
well,
be
not
dead
here this year, so.
Yeah, he's somewhere suffering in a ward. We should. We haven't got long actually. We've got to mention what other stuff we've seen for a start. If anyone has seen any,
I saw Velvet last night.
What's that?
Velvet is a show. It's a you know David Bates' Spiegel Tent. So,
yes.
But I think it's called Smoke and Mirrors rather than the famous Spiegel Tent this year. But it's at St Andrew's Square, and that was an incredible show. It was like a disco circus show.
Wow.
With Marsha Hines appearing.
Very
so
good.
That wasn't bad. And then I also saw Funds and Games.
Oh. Which is the kid show that's not really a kid show.
It's
but
pretty
kind
good.
Of is. Yes.
Yeah.
There were children in that, I presume.
Yeah, there were, unfortunately.
You didn't want to punch
any of much to my disgust. And then on Friday, I'm going to go and see Tom Binns, which I'm very excited about.
Oh, excellent. Tom Binns always. Is he just is he being himself?
He's
or
doing
is
his club set.
Oh,
so
great.
Who very knows nice. What he's doing?
Anyone else seen anything else they'd like to recommend? I know it's hard when you're doing your own show, don't worry.
I haven't had a chance to see anything yet because I'm so paranoid about my own show. I'll leave until the last week to catch shows. But I have seen previews and I've seen snippets of people's shows. And based on that, I would say Felicity Ward's show is good. I previewed with her. That was an amazing show.
What If There Is No Toilet?
Yes.
It's called.
This is a great
show. About IBS, amongst other things.
Lazy Susan.
Sketches.
Yep.
Yeah.
They were really good. Michael Shea, I saw.
Mm-hmm.
He was good. Phil's show is good as well.
Yeah,
I saw
a clip. Cheers, dude.
Did not in a, no, Birmingham Glee.
Yeah.
I saw a clip and I was like, yeah, that's going to be a good show.
Yeah, it's nice. You do get that in June and July when you go and do all your previews and you get to see what everyone else is doing. And but it's good to see you're very good, Dane, that you're, you know, healthy, concentrating on your show. What you are is giving the audience value for money.
It's fine. I'm working because my birthday's in September, so you're going to see a serious binge after this Fringe. So it's going to be real bad. So yeah, guys, healthy now. By about October, I'll be entering the Priory. So
well, yeah, you can be at Phil's level of physical fitness by October. Be, yeah.
And we previewed last
it's
year
a dream.
As well, I remember, for my first show.
We did, and you know, it was amazing. We did a preview in King's Cross, and, you know, and we were, as you are before you come up to the Fringe, we were like, oh, we're will it be any good? And then look at bloody you, Dame Baptiste, nominated for the chilling, best eating, newcomer, all of that business.
Eating jelly babies and minstrels with a chihuahua.
Exactly. 2 years on, who would have thunk it? I went to see, what did I go and see? I went to see Angela Barnes last night, who was amazing and brilliant and poignant. The problem is everyone, because there is, you know, like shows tend to have more kind of emotional depth to them than they may have done in the past, which is obviously a good thing. But I tear up very easily, and I think I've cried. I didn't cry in your show, Piff. Yours is the only show I haven't cried.
I did inside, at least. I was sick once for about 2 or 3 years in my 20s, and I watched Madagascar when I was very, very sick, and I cried all the way through that movie.
Aww.
And then about 2 years later, I watched it, and I was like, what? There's nothing remotely emotional in this movie. There's nothing. I was like, what was I crying about? I don't know. I think it was about all the animals being trapped in the zoo.
Yeah, which is a good thing to cry
I don't give
about.
A shit. Like, yeah. In life, I love going to zoos. I'm like, oh, look at the animals.
It's like you got all your sort of emotional sort of attachment out in that couple of years of being ill.
That's how I
felt,
yeah.
And you binged on it, and now you're like, no, nothing.
Moved children, on, animals. Moved on from emotions.
I went to see a play yesterday morning, 10:30, and I had been out a bit. I had a bit of a mum's night out the night before, so I was a bit emotional anyway. And at 10:30 in the morning, I went to see, it's called Our Ladies of Perpetual Succor. And it's this amazing cast of young women, sort of 20-odd, playing teenagers. And they do the songs of ELO and tell a story about being these Catholic schoolgirls who come to Edinburgh to sing in a big choral competition. And they go out and get drunk and have this sort of really bacchanalian orgy time. And it's so filthy, but so... And there's one bit where they're talking about, oh, what does sperm taste like? And one of them says, oh, it's like snot, only warmer, right? Which really, for some, and that made me go, and I was really laughing, then I started really crying, and I had a proper slight meltdown in the, I don't know why, it was, yeah, anyway, profoundly moving.
What does Pat think about this?
What? Oh, come on.
About your meltdown.
Oh, about my meltdown? I thought you meant about sperm. No. You can't get Pat to say what's...
No, look, don't lower Pat
to that
down level.
With you.
We're on a
That's
medical
a scientist
profession
over there.
Only basis.
Yes, well, let's
Pat,
see what
any
Pat's...
Feedback
can we get the microphone
that?
Over
that,
to Pat
that
now?
Mean much we'll, to Pat?
Yeah, Pat, what's happening with me? Am I having... Is it a midlife crisis? Is it a nervous breakdown?
Young. You're too young.
Oh, you are lovely, Pat.
No, I think it was just of the moment. As a mother...
It's
now,
here.
I got in late. Yeah. What's Pat's story? It's
echoing. Come on then, let's talk to Pat.
Pat, what do you
Piffles
do?
And Pat.
I'm a lecturer.
She's in what?
Biology.
So we had a biological...
Well, we're asking her all these...
She was first consulted as an expert on the Neanderthal. That's how we say it.
You're kidding.
The Neanderthal, and has been a font of scientific knowledge ever since, I have to say. Has been an absolute
Except
star.
For one question. I got
but I was throwing you curveballs, Pat. You've been amazing. I'm
viruses,
really sorry.
You know.
No, it's just I just like to just play with things, you know, shake things up. But no, you
should we ask
doing.
Pat some biology questions about the chihuahua?
Ooh. Yeah, come on then.
Why did chihuahuas shake, Pat? For 4 points.
Shake what?
Nice.
No,
right back at you. Boy flip.
I don't know why I bother.
Coconut trees.
What's that?
Trees.
I heard it was because they had so little muscle on them that the adrenaline goes. No, yeah, the adrenaline goes to their muscles, so they just shake. Because they shake when they're happy, excited, scared, like bored, anything. They just shake.
Do you know? Do you know what they're originally bred for?
Hot water bottles, weren't they? That's what I heard.
I think it's food.
No.
Yeah, originally bred to be to be eaten on sticks. I think.
No.
I think that is true.
I think that's corn
dogs.
Dogs.
Hunting dogs are something very small.
Hamsters.
Hamsters, yeah.
Hamsters are bred for
and
food
you,
as well.
And then you eat the hamster.
Oh. So what, you eat the hamster then the dog?
No, you send the chihuahua.
I suppose it's Christmas, isn't it?
Yeah, chihuahuas are bred by the Aztecs as hot water bottles.
Well, but possibly, and then they may have eaten them at the
and
end.
And then, they were like, these are tasty as well.
Yeah. You can see though, can't you? They do look snacky. Like
no, they don't. They look like a partridge. You ever tried to eat a partridge? It's just all tiny bones.
It'll
be a nightmare.
Like a rabbit. Like,
yeah, you don't want to get into that.
Like game, basically.
Yeah. You want to. You want a big,
dogs go,
you know, then like fat game. English bulldog to like put
yeah,
on
meat,
a you know,
bit of meat.
Right.
It.
Yeah.
My chihuahua's a bit sort of. He's a bit sort of butch. My chihuahua.
Oh, what a fat. Is he a
no,
fat
he's not
chihuahua?
Fat. He's like muscly. He's like a sort fat. Of. He's like a
roids.
Meathead chihuahua.
Roids on the roids.
On the roids. Yeah.
Steroid addict.
He squares.
Nobody loves a fat chihuahua, Piffles. Oh. All right, you stay on that diet, the Murray Pat. His diet is impeccable.
So does Piffles get angry?
Oh yeah, he doesn't like other dogs, and he also is quite territorial around his own dressing room. But other than that, he's very nice.
Oh. And in the Fringe, you have to, you know, you have to maintain dressing room rights. And I once shared a dressing room with a group of other comedians, and I had a costume in my show that year. I was dressed as a carrot. For reasons that I never understood why.
For the whole time?
For a lot of the show. More
well,
of the
I
show.
I thought I made a commitment, but that's nothing in comparison.
Oh, yeah, that's true, actually.
Yeah,
I hadn't
to
thought.
A carrot.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Dragon and go. Well, I don't know how your costume is, but mine, it was disgusting. And it was, you know, you sweat a bit when you're on stage, even if you're a delicate flower like I am. And it was sort of padded, and it was minging, absolutely minging. And by the end of the festival, I was like, oh, this is going to have to be burnt afterwards. And then... got shown a photo of Lloyd Langford, who was sharing my dressing room, naked in my carrot costume, and had been apparently parading around naked in my carrot, which is I've never fully forgiven him for.
That's no good at all.
It's no good.
So the first dragon costume I had was made of plastic, and that is not the way to go.
No.
That lasted 3 shows.
Where do you get the dragon costume from? Do you like make it? Do you have it specially made, a dragon costume?
The first one, my sister had it under her bed. And I never followed up that story because I don't want to know what the rest of it was.
Yeah. But then it's a full-size dragon costume, isn't it?
Right. Well, it was sort of about this much smaller than me.
Oh, okay.
So I could never really stand up straight in that first one. I was always a little bit stooped. And then I got them custom-made. Like, my one's got 27 pockets in.
Ooh, custom-made.
Look at that.
I just want to bring it back to not only you not asking your sister why she had a dragon costume under her bed, but also did she never ask you why you were looking under her bed?
No, I was going to a fancy dress party. I needed a costume. I said to my sister, do you have anything? She said, yeah, I've got a dragon outfit under my bed. I was like, great.
Do you know, the show Maggie Queen of Soho? Mm-hmm. That started from a fancy dress costume as well.
Yeah.
It's
really?
It's a show, yeah, I think it's a good way of getting into it.
Yeah, well, so I turned up to the party and no one else was in fancy dress.
Oh, nice.
And I was fully committed in a dragon outfit. And then my friend said, "What do you should do this in your act," because she knew I was a magician. She said, "You could be Puff the Magic Dragon." And I said, "I could be Piff the Magic Dragon."
Yeah.
And that was that.
God, that's nice to get the Genesis story there. That's very interesting.
And also, there's still space for this story as well to go back to like answering these questions. Why was the dragon costume there?
Yeah.
Where's the body?
But there are some nice unanswered questions about it.
Yeah, I know. Which means
which we'll never know.
Which is good, but it's good for longevity.
We could ask my sister, but let's just pretend we'll never know.
Yeah,
even Pat.
If his sister had killed a man, that would be a really good story for America's Got Talent, wouldn't it? That would
be so good.
Yeah.
Why are you doing this? Oh, my sister killed a man and hid the body in a dragon outfit. I'm just trying to make amends.
Yeah. Or he is an evil magician and then he disappeared. You're trying to do good magic in order to make amends for him, like messing up with the guild or the union. I don't know how it works in magic and collective bargaining.
I don't know how it works in magic either. I hate the thing.
Are you not a part of any magic guilds?
I am, actually. I'm a part of the magic circle. Mm-hmm. I'm a member of the inner magic circle.
I see. Ooh. And is that covered like magic as well as voodoo and like wiccans?
Juggling.
Juggling.
Yeah. Blue modelling.
About like swallowing like... swords and stuff.
Yeah, obviously.
It is a lovely vision of like this inner sanctum of like a darkened room where you're admitted to and wearing robes and everything, and then you just start doing balloon modelling.
Right.
Really, I love that.
Yeah, I love those websites where it's like the magician be like mind reader, corporate entertainer, like he will like mess with your minds. It's like, and then kids parties. And like, you know, Jiffy the Clown.
You know, now, are there any rival like subcultures? Because I imagine, let's say you guys had a convention, and then in a nearby arena or a nearby like event center, there was like Comic Con going on.
Right.
And then maybe like, I don't know, Adult Video. If all three of those particular subcultures were to face off, like the magician circle or the magic circle versus comic book nerds versus perverts.
Like, well, I think the magicians and the perverts would be together.
I think they would be.
I imagine
they'd
be a big like a house sort of fire. In that Venn diagram. Like magicians yeah. and the perverts.
Yeah, it's like right. a face-off, and you're like, yeah, "What's in my code? What's in my code? Oh my god!"
They could use the same convention center. Yeah.
yeah. Although I just want to, yeah, all those guys face off would be good.
I think magicians and jugglers never really get on that well because juggling requires skill. So magicians. Just
it's
life
just magic.
For a living. Yes,
yeah,
bullshit.
Magic,
yeah. Yeah. I mean, magic. Yes, yeah, just magic. Yeah.
Yeah.
Magic.
I also, before we go any further, I also want to talk about the two brilliant women in your show.
Oh my God.
You are very lucky. You're a very lucky man. You have two of the funniest women in town.
Yeah, it's incredible. So I've got Sophie Zucchini, who is my assistant, who literally we've had probably half an hour of conversations about what she should do. And she's just improvised the whole thing.
she's
an incredible
very
dancer, comedic performer. She's amazing. And also, we're very, very lucky. Direct from Las Vegas, my girlfriend, Jade Simone,
yeah.
is in the show. And she's a showgirl, incredible dancer. She's like headline shows in Vegas and traveled all over the world performing.
She's incredible. So and me and Amanda, our esteemed producer, we were talking about the show and we went, oh, he's a very lucky man, isn't he? He's a very lucky man.
Very
if you
lucky.
See the show, you'll see what we mean. I mean, you know, she's gorgeous and bendy, like you couldn't believe. Extraordinary.
Yeah.
But yes, it's. I should take audience recommendations as well, by the way. Let's have a quick poll of the audience, Amanda. Let's see what your favourite things that you have seen so far are. Be free with your recommendations because people are coming out. If you haven't got one, Pat,
no, we
doesn't
only arrived
matter.
Yesterday. You're our first.
Is it? Yeah. You've just arrived. Well, look, you've got three shows here.
Must have a baseline, isn't it?
Yes. Well, I mean, we're giving you a taste. What we're doing is we're giving you a taste, a little flavour of what's to come. What kind of thing are you into, Pat? What's your, is it all biology or are you prepared to...
Comedy.
Comedy?
Based on biology.
comedy based. There, I mean, there will be. Mm. There will be plenty. We'll have a think. We'll get something else. Has anyone got a show they'd like to recommend? Oh, look, here we go. Lovely letter.
Tom Binns.
Brilliant. Really, yeah. really funny. Yeah. Really
and he
good.
Voices the fish in our show.
Yeah,
yes.
He's the voice of Darren Gold in the Piff Show.
No, really
which
good,
is
really
a very, you know.
Now, he's got a couple of shows, right?
Yes.
12:40 somewhere.
Yeah.
That's his club sets. And then he's also doing Ian de Montfort, is he?
I think
that's Friday
so.
Night. Is
that
Friday night?
Just Friday.
Friday night, yeah. yeah.
Now, okay. We should, if anyone has not seen, have you not seen the Ian de Montfort show? Right, so this guy, Tom Vince, he does Ian de Montfort, who is a psychic. And it's phenomenal what he does, because it's actually, it's so impressive.
But it's based
funny.
On all of the tricks of psychics.
yeah, yeah. So, as a scientist and skeptic, I'm sure, Pat, that's something that you would be very interested in seeing. So. I feel we should do, we'll do a schedule. So obviously we're all going out after this. Tonight is probably a write-off. The rest of the day we'll probably just be drunk, apart from Dane. Dane, you can keep us safe.
If you guys want like after drink omelettes or something. I've
yeah.
I would very much be up for after drink omelettes.
I would appreciate that. Just the piffles is hammered already.
I can't
spread eagle on your legs.
Yeah. Is everybody cool with like bell peppers?
Yeah.
Because okay. I had to cut some up before I came out. But so I'll go do some more.
Cool.
Yeah, if you can make it more of a frittata than an omelette, I'd be.
That's why. Yeah, a bit of potato in there really wouldn't.
Gonna have to make. Gonna have to make a shopping trip, guys.
There's a Sainsbury's around the corner.
Cool.
Be fine.
Good to know. all right.
Good. Well, yeah. So we'll have tonight. Will be our night of revelry, and then tomorrow we'll wake up in. I don't know who's. We'll go back to one of ours anyway.
Yeah. Mr. Piffle's bed.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. Can I make a request? I'm doing this again tomorrow. And could I have Mr. Piffles and Pat?
Sure.
But I don't know. Yeah. You don't. No, I don't need to ask
well,
you about
we've got the same
Pat,
agent, so yeah. We can
yeah. I mean, it's been lovely having you, but this is just the best thing that I've ever. It's the best thing I've ever experienced in my life. I'm just having. It must look like. Can you actually see the dog, or does it just look like I'm caressing my own crotch? Oh, the magic of radio! Look, he stood up now. He's like. Just to
see, he likes it because he's like basking in the sun.
Yeah,
it's like being back in Vegas.
This is very hot. This
That's
is
all he does. He just lies around in the sun at home.
What are there the distinctions between types of chihuahua that have the hair and that don't have?
Yeah, it's long haired and short haired.
Oh,
and there's a teacup and
ugly ones.
Now listen, the chihuahua chat is sadly we're gonna do this afterwards. Chihuahua chat with Pat. Ooh, we'll record that. That'll be a podcast that'll be available.
Chihuahua Chat with Pat.
Chihuahua Chat with Pat.
That's not bad.
But what we need to do, we've only got a minute left, so I want to just recap where everyone's on and when, and I'm going to be lazy and get you to do it for me, if that's all right. So, Phil, let's start with you. Recap your show details.
All right, okay. My show's called Neanderthal. It's about monkeys and the Sanya.
No, it's not.
No, it's called Neanderthal. I named it.
Wow.
It's called Neanderthal. We evolved from Neanderthals, Pat. Sorry, yes, it's at 7 o'clock, Pleasance That.
Pleasance That. That's great. Dane Baptiste, Reasonable Doubts. Tell me when.
My show is Reasonable Doubts. It is at the Pleasance Courtyard at the Beside. It's at 7:15 p.m.
Yeah, and which I'm hoping I might get to see that tonight. I'm hoping, but it's sold out. But I'm going to try anyway. And then Fifth Magic Dragon.
We're doing Breakfast Epiphanies, 10:40 p.m. at the Underbelly Circus Hub.
You are a genius. Right, good. We're out. That's us. That's the hour. Thank you very much for coming. Give yourselves a round of applause.
Lucy Porter live from the Fringe on FUBAR Radio. FUBAR Radio presents.
A very, very special guest today on our show.
Well, it's not go crazy. It's not that special, but thank you. I'm a Corey guy myself. I grew up really. My mom grew up with my grandmother watching it. I grew up with my mother watching it. And I'm not above saying there's periods of my life where I go into it hardcore.
Nice.
So who's your favorite character in Corey guy?
Well, I have to go Steve McDonald. The poor, long-suffering Steve McDonald. You just get the feeling he knows better.
Every Thursday from 2 p.m., this is a FUBAR Radio podcast. You can subscribe to the app on Apple and Android. Visit FUBARradio.com for more details.